Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. In tonight's Christmas Eve service, Reverend David Williams talks to us about the words we treasure. Please enjoy Reverend David's message as we join the service already in progress.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All around this great land of ours, there are millions of Christmas trees glowing in bay windows and in the corners of rec rooms, sparkling with the radiance of 100 billion twinkling LEDs. And underneath that warm radiance, resting silent and neatly bewrapped, are a pile of presents roughly the size of Wisconsin, one that will be mysteriously added to overnight, until the mass of those gifts becomes so large that it seems to punch a hole in the boundaries of time and space itself, creating a shiny, seasonally wrapped wormhole that extends into some other dimension in a parallel universe made entirely of tinsel. There are impossible piles of presents out there, and in those piles of presents lie a couple of conundrums, too. The first one is that every one of those presents someone has anguished over, someone has picked out with care, thinking about that person, and it's precious. But in the Christmas morning feeding frenzy, that sense of connection between gift and giver, sometimes, I mean never in your house I'm sure, gets rushed on by. Now, it's a treasure, but whether that treasure lasts beyond the, "Oh, look, it's my favorite thing forever. It's my favorite thing forever. It's my," you know, hard to say. And second, it is hard in this season, as someone who endeavors without success to keep my house somewhat straightened, to wonder exactly where in this season all of those things in those boxes are going to actually go. Sometimes buying a second home seems like the only option, but one mortgage is enough. You know, I think if they are any measure, maybe we'll just live on top of the presents, you know, like Smog, you know, nestled on top of his gold and his gift cards and his Legos. I don't know. Those piles of presents do build up as the years go on by with kids in the house. But as my children have grown and grown and grown, the gifts of the past have piled on top of one another, treasure after treasure, until it seems sometimes like the pressure of all of those piled up treasures might actually have started to turn some of those lower levels of plastic toys back into fossil fuels. And so recently, in preparation for this season, I've been going through the strata of their rooms with some help, going through their storage bins and things like archaeologists on a dig. And it's amazing what you find in those bins. Mingled in with long abandoned leap pads and doodads that have not had a battery in them functioning for a decade or more. You work your way and sift your way through the gifts and trinkets of seasons past, and every once in a while you find a thing that matters, a toy that has some meaning, something that somehow reminds a child of that time. But then you'll find other stuff, because rooms are piles of other stuff. Those things actually are kind of genuinely treasures, the ones that you find yourself stopping the process of cleaning and lingering with for a while. Those aren't the most sparkly and impressive gifts from years past. Yes, some are toys, but most of them are much humbler stuff. They are things like little books that were empty paper when they were given, but are now filled with bright crayon drawings done in the hands of little boys who somehow aren't there anymore, replaced by large people who tower over you. You encounter, as you dig through those strata, stories and doodles in old kindergarten composition books, words that speak to you in voices that you can sort of hear, little high voices from years past. And when you come across those old words written in small and uncertain hands, you always go, "Oh, they grow up so fast." And you always put those little pieces of paper into the pile that the plastic stuff is not going into. Those pieces of paper, those memories, go in the keeper pile. Those you want to hold on to. Those are the precious things, words that you treasure, even though their market value is probably not what you can get for a PS4 on eBay tonight. Words can be like that, old written memories, as we carry them through life, especially those words that tell us the story of important things. And here we are in the story of Christmas that Luke tells us every year. And it is these words that are the treasure of the season. There aren't wise men here. Not in Luke's telling of the story. There's no gold, there's no frankincense, there's no myrrh. That is how dear old Uncle Matthew's gospel tells it. But Luke has no presents brought. At least not the kind of gifts we're used to on Christmas. People do show up, but the people who arrive are shepherds, and shepherds are not the kinds of folks who'd have been able to manage any kind of shiny gift anyway. For all of our warm, fuzzy pageant images of the life of a shepherd, they lived a hard life. It was day-to-day subsistence, just trying to make it to the next meal. And it was not a job that got even the tiniest little bit of respect. But these are the ones that bear the precious thing in the story we tell every year. These struggling, just making it souls who are brought a message. A simple word to be carried to two people they say they're going to find in a barn. And that's what they find, Mary and Joseph, the parents of a tiny newborn, living out his first days on this planet with the smell of cattle and sheep lowing and otherwise making noises around them. They brought with them not gifts, but a word. And the words that they bore were pretty much the only things they'd be able to part with. But even though that was just a simple message that they brought, it was nonetheless a treasure. The message brought to that couple struggling to get by with really no roof over their head to speak of was one that would change them. Something that echoed back from the past of their people, bringing them something important, telling them something is going to happen. It's a message of an old promise, there will be a time of fulfillment, that there will be a time when people will be able to live their lives as God has called us all to live. And Mary hears them, and she treasures them, and she ponders them. Do you feel like you have a lot of time to ponder in these last couple of weeks? If you had to pick a word to describe these last few weeks, would I've been pondering a lot be one of those? Probably not, because this season is, right up till now, clutter. And in the mess and in the rush of it, it is easy to charge on and lose sight of the significant and actual treasures that do come to all of us this time of year. We rush along, and if we are moving so quickly at that pace that we feel obligated to move, we don't reflect on the time. We don't ponder it. We don't consider it. We don't take it as precious, this time we are given to spend with one another. As gifts pass in these next hours between loved ones, tonight, if that's your tradition, or tomorrow, as it is in my family, remember that this is a time to lay on the air brakes a little bit, you know? I mean, slow down. Contemplate those blessings, the blessings of family and friendship that underlie those gifts and motivate them. And that is why tonight we gather here, we stop for a moment, we slow down this evening to just sort of go, stop hyperventilating, slow, even breaths. You'll need them for the singing. We remember this evening that Mary received those words and had the time to embrace them for the treasure that they were. She lingered over them. She let them settle into her. And in that time when she had to ponder in that story, she was told of her little child. We have an example of the kind of simple gift that does matter. Because the gift, that message that shepherds brought to her, that was the core of the gift Luke's story tells, is a gift of a life of a person who would turn himself over so completely to the cause of love and justice in the world that it would be his whole self. That was the promise, a promise she would see fulfilled in that life, that evening so new and so precious. And in that message, in that word that is brought as a gift to all of us, there is hope for us, for restoration, for forgiveness, for mercy, for reconciliation. That's the message of the good news. It's born into him and born into us if we'll hold it as precious and take our time with it. That's the kind of message that changes how we understand ourselves, how we understand our world. Those words brought first by those shepherds can make us anew and make this world anew if we just breathe a little, let them settle in. So let that treasure, the treasure of this evening, rest in your heart. Give yourself time to ponder it, time to appreciate it for the precious thing it is. May it be a Merry Christmas for you and for me. Amen.
We've gathered here together to share this light, to share the gift of grace that is at the heart of this season. The promise of new life and hope, the promise rooted in our past, in our families, in our friends, in our history, but something that really speaks deeper than that. In this night, there is the hope for new life born every Christmas. As we go out into the world, let the joy of the knowledge of that fill you. Let it define this evening and tomorrow and all your days. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.